It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
I have tiny legs and I'm fat.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number 3, Dirt and Sprague here. Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, The Odyssey app, live on YouTube.
Good morning, everybody.
It's been a fantastic start to the show. We've yelled about Donovan Klingon. Would you or would you not include him in a trade? It's a bridge too far for me. Lots of thoughts on Jaylen Brown. We will keep our eye to that and see if anything breaks here in the last 2 hours of the show.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's a lot of thoughts. Some of them agree. Some of them disagree. Somebody said getting Brown only makes sense if we win a title in the next 2 years. Why?
What?
Why?
What?
He's got 3 years left on his deal.
Why is it a 2-year window? Now we don't even have a third year of the window?
You can't even operate anymore, man.
I thought we're opening a 3-year window here. Can we open our 3-year window up?
I view the league through 3-year increments. It doesn't make me right. I'm certainly not the Mr. NBA nationally, but I've seen enough basketball and followed a league enough to know that none of this gets past 5 years largely, unless you get a LeBron, unless you get a Curry. And so, yeah, you could have Denny Avdi on your team in 5 years. My point is, your window is never going to fully shut unless you blow it up, and it's always going to change. It's never like going to be a 5-year buildup, and the Blazers kept Donovan and Tamani, and then they won the championship.
It's not usually the way that it works, man. And to your point on champions, like, I think there's 3 great examples of this. One of them we're debating with right now. You have Milwaukee, who won the title, and we thought, oh, my God, how's anybody going to stop this? And then everybody stopped it, and now Giannis is in Miami.
He's been hurt 5 of the last 6 seasons right, to end the year.
Right? You have Denver, who won a title, and it's like, oh, my God, how's anybody going to stop this? And then they couldn't get out of the first round. They're listening potentially to trades on Aaron Gordon. That's a whole other conversation we could get into.
Oh, our backup plan.
Right, our number 2 plan. And maybe they're in the mix for Jaylen Brown. I don't know. Maybe it's Gordon for Brown. Maybe that's a trade with some other draft capital that ends up getting the deal done. So, but they haven't done much when it matters most of the last handful of years. And then Boston just won a title a couple of years ago with the Brown-Tatum partnership. And what are they likely to do in the next however many hours?
Feels broken up.
Break that partnership up. And maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. But that also could be the closing of their window, because I will remind people, who was the finals MVP? It was Jaylen Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Lots still to get to in this hour. I will give a little bit of a palate cleanser. A lot of NBA. There's still a lot of NBA we haven't even talked about yet. A guy opting out of a deal to maybe lead to a bigger free agent signing. We could have a version of the Expendables coming to the NBA.
It's certainly with that. That was a big rumored thing of if player does this, other player and other player might be doing this as a
you
follow
do the Windhorse.
To it.
If that happens, do the Windhorse fingers. And we're doing the Windhorse fingers right now.
Oh, I mean, I don't even know if I'm pointing anymore. I think I bet it.
You think it's happening?
And I might be wrong on my prediction of where I thought one of those guys would land.
So we'll get to that at some point. And then the Blazers, I don't know if you know this, they made an assistant coach hiring, which I was told was going to be impossible. They wouldn't be able to do.
One official and one rumored.
Yeah, they were going to go get Lewis and Clark JV basketball coaches to be their assistants because nobody wants to work for a coach on a 1-year deal. It's not how it works in the NBA.
How would he afford a staff?
They hired the assistant JV basketball coach at Clackamas High School over the weekend, so we'll talk about that coming up in an hour as they have started to build out the staff around
what
Mike
Anori. What a promotion. JV at Clackamas High School to an assistant coach of the Blazers?
Nobody wants this job. I heard they interviewed you. I heard you were on the list.
I don't honestly think I'd be in today if they offered me the job.
If they offered you the job,
I'd have to
take it. I would slap you in the face for being here if they offered you the job. I'd say, what are you doing here? Get out of here.
Thank you, Odyssey.
Can I get
great.
Access? What are you going to give me? Do I get like backstage passes?
If they didn't have a problem me doing interviews, I would absolutely do a weekly
interview
with you.
I can't get daily? Daly's too big? You're too big for Daly now?
Yeah.
Because you're an assistant coach for the Blazers?
Well, I just... Daly? Ridiculous.
How about after...
In the midst of the Ducks-Michigan series? We're going to... assistant coach Brandon Sprague on the show. Sprague, how's the season going?
How's the preseason, Brandon?
Well, as you know, Dirt, it's November. Season doesn't start till after the new year. But how's college football season going?
College football season going great, buddy. It's going great. Speaking of which, let's talk about that. I've had this in the notes for a while, and I thought, you know what? I knew today's show was going to be a lot of yelling about prospects and trade potential and who should they go get. And I thought, you know what? This would be a fun little palate cleanser. Do you gentlemen know we are only 9 more Saturdays away from the start of college football season?
9 sounds like a lot, but also not.
Right.
It's like a perfect number to say it's right around the corner while also going 9.
Blink twice and it's football season.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll happen. That's the way the summer usually goes, right? Like you start getting vacations. It's the 4th of July. Like you're just active and you're doing, kids are in camp. You're running around everywhere and you look up and you're like, wait a minute. Huh?
4th of July is this week.
It's the 4th of July week, dude. We're off on Friday. It's the holiday for the 4th of July because it's less than a week away. It's on Saturday.
Yeah.
Scott Hansen also tweeted yesterday, I will see you in 11 Sundays.
He's only got 11 more.
11 more Sundays available. Mm. And then he's going to be grinding and peeing in his pants, giving us 7 hours of somewhat commercial-free football.
When we get both at the same time, I can't even put it into words.
Mm.
Oh, my God. I get 7 hours of commercial-free football. And
she
then
can't stop it from coming.
Saturday, just all day extravaganza from 9 a.m. until 8 p.m. at night. Are you kidding me?
I think part of it for me this weekend was walking around in the weather that we had, that it was like, man, it feels like an October Saturday right now. Does it not? Like, it's a little chilly in the air. You kind of need a sweatshirt, maybe some pants in the morning if you're leaving the house.
I didn't find it to be chilly.
I mean,
I actually found
chilly
it to be
for the
nice.
Time of year. I found it delightful, but it felt like a early October Saturday morning where the cold hasn't fully hit yet.
It smelled like it.
It kind of... You get that rain in the air. Like, you know, it just feels like football season. So I thought, let's talk some football here. And I wanted to play a fun game with you. You know how we love remembering stuff and then making fun of each other down the road?
Are you going to tell me how to say duck in Japanese?
I am not going to tell you how to say duck in Japanese, but I did see some of the Japanese content of them in Japan. It looked pretty cool. Like, they had a camp, or camp will be the right word. They basically went through drills. The players that were there, they're wearing their jerseys, and a bunch of Japanese fans were surrounding the field and thought it was really cool. And they've also upped their entire Heisman campaign is Japanese themed, which is pretty funny for Dante Moore. Did you see the extended video they have of the duck looking up at the duck?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was great.
Phenomenal. And the Japanese actors that are in that, I'm assuming they're Japanese actors, I don't know, but they were great. The duck was next to Godzilla. It's a phenomenal Heisman campaign.
Dante Godzilla version should be a thing.
Yes.
Why have we not put his head on a Godzilla body?
It seems like the next move, right?
Overtaking the college football world this year seems like the obvious branding. Also, Japan, I want to say I have this right. I thought a Japanese team, didn't they come over here and play Southern Oregon?
Yes, for the national champion of Japan,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, so Japan has gotten into American football, so they thought, you know what, let's brand the hell out of this. And you give to get your players, I mean... Japan is a dream vacation for most Americans, and they're off for like 4 days to go visit Japan. That's a really cool thing for those players.
Yeah, so they come over and play in what is called the Mills Bowl in Southern Oregon.
That's right.
I'm sure Dusty will be hearing this and give us more details.
Well, I remember seeing the highlights of it a couple years ago.
Yeah, because it happens like in the middle of the summer, if I'm not wrong. So it's like, hey, look at that. They're playing football right now. That's kind of interesting. And it's named after the former and legacy of the former Southern Oregon head coach, Chuck Mills. They call it the Mills Bowl. So it's kind of a cool thing that happens. I got overs and unders for you from the Big Ten and the SEC, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I would like for both of you fine gentlemen, I'm going to write these down, we're going to noodle on them,
okay,
and then we will make fun of each other or praise each other, depending on how it goes, of your favorite over and your favorite under from each conference. I'm not going to ask you to do every team. That's ludicrous. That's way too much. But just when I throw the numbers at you, I want you to think of, ooh, that's definitely going over, or ooh, that's definitely going under. So we can start.
I don't know half the rosters yet.
Yeah, you do. Come on, don't sell yourself short. You know what comes out this weekend?
Yeah. College Football 27.
You're damn right it does. You're damn right it does.
I am on the cusp.
Are you getting a PS5?
Getting a PS5.
Let's go, baby.
That sounds so sweet.
Let's go, baby.
So sweet.
Are you going to do Road to Glory first, or are you going to do a Dynasty?
That's rock.
What are you going to do? Are you going to put the towels on your guy's pants? Here are your over-unders in the SEC, ladies and gentlemen. Are you ready? There is not a single team in the SEC with a double-digit win total.
How dare you talk about the SEC over-unders when Oregon State landed a 3-star quarterback.
Oh, we'll get to it. Don't you worry. We got our recruiting news in the notes
today. Okay, bring
on
the SEC over-unders.
I'm going to go rapidly through.
Right.
Here we go. Georgia, Texas, 9.5.
Oh, they're tied at 9.5?
Tied at 9.5. Alabama, LSU, Texas A&M, 8.5. Okay?
Boy, they think that conference is really difficult.
Meat grinder. Mm-hmm. Ole Miss, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Florida, 7.5.
I love one of those teams.
We got a big love already. Yeah. We have Missouri, Auburn, and South Carolina at 6.5.
I love one of those teams.
Clark Lee and Vanderbilt. Are they starting the freshman? I'll be curious. The number one quarterback, if he plays right away, they're 5.5.
That doesn't usually go well.
Does not usually. Will Stein in Kentucky in year one, 4.5 over under. Also tied with Mississippi State and Arkansas. Those are your over unders in the SEC. Who do we love for an over? Who do we love for an under?
Will Stein will help you shine.
I'll take the over of Kentucky.
You're going to take the over of Kentucky?
5 wins?
Yeah.
They portaled a lot.
They
He's
did portal a lot.
Pretty well. I'll take a over 5. What's their non-conference?
Let's pull up Kentucky's schedule, Bob.
Well, you don't actually need to do that.
Oh, don't you worry.
I assume there's a patsy in there or
I'm
two.
I'm assuming they're playing nobody.
So there's just half of what you need. Then you get an upset win in the SEC at some point. Multiple teams are going to absolutely be worse than you think.
Yes, happens every year.
So I'll bet the over of that. You said Florida's was 7.5?
Florida's was 7.5.
I will bet the over of Florida.
Woo-hoo-hoo.
Year one, John Summerall. I'm a believer in that dude. I like it. I think he goes in there. I think they win 8 or more.
Wow. That would be a great year one for Summerall in Florida.
Is Alabama in the 7.5?
Alabama was 8.5.
I'll bet 8.5 over Alabama.
We're liking overs in the SEC. We're just big overs guy here, Sprague.
I'll take the over of 6.5 with Auburn.
Wow. Okay.
I think the Brown kid with his coach is going to do.
You're making a lot of bets right now. I got
damage
keep up.
In the SEC.
Over of Auburn.
Well,
you got to mix. You got to balance it and give me an under you like. I just wanted one. You're giving me more.
Well, the problem is you threw them all at me and I can't memorize all of them.
So 9.5 Georgia, Texas, 8.5.
Okay, let me start there.
Yeah.
Let's just go 2 at a time. Don't
two
give me
time.
Like 7.
Okay. 2 at a time. 9.5 Georgia, Texas.
Texas over. And if they're not, they should fire Sark. That's as low to roster as he's ever had.
Have you seen their schedule?
I don't care.
Okay, doesn't matter.
Have you seen the roster?
It's very good.
At what
good.
Point does the roster become greater good. Than the schedule being harder?
For the most part, I agree with you. Playing Ohio State in non-conference changes that a little bit for me because that's as tough of a non-conference game that exists.
But they
in the
damn
sport.
Near beat them, and Arch was doing nothing in that game.
Absolutely,
and
did.
Now it's in Austin. So.
And I would say Julian Sayin did nothing in that game.
Yeah,
that's
fair.
You know, you go each way with that one.
But at their high end, I think Arch is better than Julian Sayin. So I will take Texas beating Ohio State over Mr. 99 himself, Jeremiah Smith.
Yeah.
I'll take the over for Texas. I'll take the under of Georgia, but I think they go 9-3.
Ooh.
So I will take the under of Georgia. There's an under for you.
Okay.
And then what were your 8.5s?
I mean, that's it. You've given me enough. I was just looking for one. You've gone through the whole conference.
I could give, I mean,
you've
yeah.
given me extra credit. I'm going to give you an A+ on the assignment. This is pretty solid. Is there one of those overs that you like the most? Who is your most likable over? You gave me Kentucky 4.5, Florida 7.5, Bama 8.5, Auburn 6.5, and Texas 9.5.
I'll probably take Auburn over.
Auburn over is your favorite of the overs.
Yeah, because 7-5 seems feasible. I like that. What's his last name? Alex what? Is it Grint? No, it's not Grint.
Golish.
It's Golish, thank
Golish.
You.
Golish. And Byron Brown?
Byron Brown, yeah. I think he's the real deal if he can stay healthy. And then Florida would be my close second.
Okay. What about non-Booger Brandon? Do you have an over you or an under you like
the most?
I mean,
I'm still a little overwhelmed with all of those over-unders that... I'm
throwing them at you, baby.
Dirt just throws the whole conference at you, and you're like, wait a minute, I can't process.
You got to be like Keanu Reeves in the Matrix.
1-1, not 6-6. I like two overs. I like Georgia over. I just think Kirby's just got that train rolling. I think they can get 10 wins.
Yep.
By the way, of Gunnar Stockton, he's one of the few players who is not in the game. He did not opt into the game.
Interesting.
Why would you not opt into the game?
I don't know.
Gunnar Stockton.
I don't know. You're the starting quarterback at Georgia.
Don't they get like $400 or $600 for doing it?
I mean, it's not a lot of money. It's mostly the vanity of it.
It's more money.
That's
to have you in the
what
game.
Do you mean?
Maybe he's not a video game guy.
Maybe he's not.
But
maybe
what does that matter with opting into the game to get money?
Maybe he's so out of touch with electricity that he was like out on a hunting trip and missed the emails in the offseason and was like,
possible.
Wait, what? I'm back. I can't be in the game. So that could have been it, too.
Yeah. My other favorite, I'm going to go Missouri over.
Ooh, you drink with Sky, huh?
I think they can continue the slow progression that
What's
they
their number?
Are trending up.
Six and a half.
Oh, I'll take the over on Missouri as well. That, throw doesn't that one that in seem kind of low for him?
It
you may not
low.
Think he's elite, yeah. but he's been pretty good there. Yeah.
I mean, they've been better than 7-5. They're yeah. replacing a lot, new starting quarterback, so there's some moving pieces there. But
well, I didn't like their quarterback last year.
Neither did I. He cost them the Alabama game. Yeah, do you have an under you like?
My under pick would be Florida under 7.5.
Oh, we have a correlation.
I think there was too much turnover in this offseason that they can slay together eight
okay.
wins.
Okay, all right. That's pretty solid. I like that. I'm going to give you a couple that I my favorite over in the entire conference. It's interesting because a lot of the numbers are relatively low, and that makes it a little more difficult to compute. The one that I don't understand when I look at it because of the season they had and because of who they're returning. And again, maybe we're playing the schedule game here. I'm not fearful of the game. Oklahoma's the one that I look at and I don't get.
You can't play the schedule game with the over-unders. You got to play the game of gut.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I don't know, 90% sure. of these schedules.
Some teams
I'm
might end up being
blind.
Bad. But no, the point...
What's Oklahoma's?
You brought up Oklahoma's over-under is 7.5.
That's...
They won 9 games last year. They were in the playoff. The reason I bring that up, because you mentioned Texas, and I said, have you seen the schedule? They play Ohio State non-conference. Yeah. So that, like, dude, when you have a game like that, that dictates your over-under. If you beat Ohio State in week 2, you're a lock to hit the over of 9.5. You're not losing 3 conference games.
Yeah.
It's a challenging schedule. But as we were shown last year, that you could lose that game and then trip up twice in conference, and that's a 9-3 season. That's how the under hits.
Yep.
They go to Michigan in week 2. It's an interesting matchup. I don't know what to make of Michigan this year. Are they going to have good quarterback play? Do you know who's returning for Oklahoma?
Yeah.
John Mateer.
Yep.
A guy who was in the running of Heisman campaigns until he, snapped his thumb in half. And he just did an interview over the weekend I saw talking about how difficult it was for him to throw the football. You got to go to Georgia. You have Texas on the schedule, like A&M at the end of the season at home. So I'm not saying it's not challenging. That was just the one that stood out to me of like, that was a playoff team last year. And one of the biggest metrics in terms of analyzing success in college football is do you have an experienced and returning starting quarterback? Mm. It's not the end-all be-all for everybody. That one was confusing to me of how is that 7.5. So when I looked at them, that was the first one that jumped out to me. I love the over of Oklahoma at 7.5.
Mm-hmm.
The under that I love, and I'm going to go the opposite direction of you and be on the side of non-Booger Brandon, the under of Florida I love. That one, year one, new starting quarterback. I'm rooting for
But it's a new system, right?
It's a new system.
It'd be a new year for Lagway if he would have stayed.
If he would have, no doubt.
Playbook.
It's just a lot of new pieces, a lot of moving pieces. And that was one that I'm just, yeah, we'll see. I think Summerall will get them there. I just don't think it'll necessarily happen in year one.
Somebody eventually
is going to win at Florida.
Has to hit at Florida.
At some point, it's going to happen.
Is it Dan Lanning in 3 years? Yeah, I mean, some might be saying, but
how dare you?
If it's not Dan Lanning, somebody has to do it.
How dare you?
I didn't feel as great about...
He did a new TikTok with recruits, by the way, over the weekend. Did you see that?
Lanning?
Yeah.
Well, he was pretty excited about the 4-star tight end they got.
Yeah, I don't think he filmed it over the weekend, but there was a video of 2 recruits dancing, and then they walk up to the phone, and they press the reverse camera.
Yeah.
So it flips around, and it shows Dan Lanning filming, making a funny face.
You had the kid jump on the McAfee show, and then did you see the behind the scenes? He made him do the TikTok thing.
I did see that.
So I've noted this, so my... One recruit for Oregon plays in our backyard in Clackamas.
Friend of the family.
And he's going to be a 4-star really soon. He's like 3.99, whatever metrics they use.
One of those
use.
Late bloomers so that's going to rise up the rankings.
When the season starts to be a 4-star. Anyways, he's at my nephew's house all the time. And we're just sitting there. And I look over in the living room, and it's him and it's another kid who's going to be an absolute stud recruit playing for Nelson. And they have the camera on the mantle. We're all in the way back, and they're like orchestrating their TikToks and their smells and their like straps and their and I'm just like, what are you doing?
What are you doing over there?
And my nephew's like, they're doing a TikTok, and I'm like, just in a living room,
it's right there.
This is just what they do, and he's
what they do. When you do a TikTok,
just doing the dances. It's him and the teammate. They're just doing TikTok dances, and I'm like. What is this for? Just for fun? Is this fun to you?
Have you guys ever done a TikTok before?
No.
Never had a TikTok account. I've only been on TikTok once, and it was before TikTok made you get the app to watch the video.
Yes.
And now when you click a TikTok, it takes you to the app store if you don't have it. And I'm like, nope.
I don't ever. Yeah.
I just assume it's funny. I'm never going to watch it.
Drives me nuts when people send me TikToks for that reason. Because you click, I won't pay attention at first. You click on it, you're like, no, get out of here. I don't
screen record it. Send me the screen recording. Because yes. I told people, everybody that sends me one, I'm like, I don't have TikTok. I never will get a TikTok.
I'm not going to watch that. Now, when you do a TikTok dance, can you hear the music?
I believe that's
the case. Like you can hear the sound of what you're dancing to?
I couldn't hear their music when they did
that was
it.
Was going to be my question of are you like trying to
like sync up with
sync
the song?
Sync it up with the song, which seems like it'd be challenging.
I think nowadays they got specific TikTok dances that don't go with songs too, that they just add their own songs.
Yes.
That's how I assume it goes.
So there's some over-unders in the SEC. We did have some nice recruiting news over the weekend for Oregon and Oregon State. I want to talk about that on the other side. Also, an NFL team doing something that what took you so long?
Well, and also saw it coming.
Pissing a lot of people off. Yeah. So we'll get to that. A couple more football nuggies and some over-unders in the Big Ten. Off and running here in hour number three. Keeping our eye on the trade banter in the NBA. We'll let you know if anything else breaks there. Back after this, 105.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.
On FM The Fan. Hey, welcome back in. Got some more football stuff to get to. The Blazers, despite what some people said, were able to hire assistant coaches this weekend.
What? Ha! I was told they wouldn't be able to afford it. There's no way.
We'll tell you who they are, and the staff is starting to shake out a little bit from Micah Norrie. We got a ton of other NBA notes to get into, including an Expendables roster that might be coming to a court near you in the relatively near future. So all that's still to come here. In the mix, though, of a palate cleanser, talking some football, and we did over-unders in the SEC. Let's quickly go through the Big Ten ones. It's interesting, in the Big Ten, you didn't have any in the SEC with double-digit over-unders. You have two in the Big Ten. And it is not Ohio State. Ohio State's over-under this year is 9.5.
It's got to be Oregon, Indiana.
It is Oregon and Indiana, 10.5. And again, I think for Ohio State, it's the idea of playing the Texas non-conference game. So Indiana and Oregon are both at 10.5. Ohio State at 9.5. Just like the SEC, we don't have to go all the way down to the bottom if you don't want to. If you want a specific team, I'll give it to you. But the other ones who are above bowl eligibility, Penn State, because largely their schedule, Michigan and USC are your next, grouping of teams at 8.5 over under. You then have 3 at 7.5 of Washington, Iowa, and Illinois. And then last but not least, your 6.5s are Wisconsin, UCLA, Nebraska, and Minnesota.
Yeah.
Who is an over or an under that we love out of the Big Ten?
Well, I've already forgot half of the ones you said because you rattled off too many. I'm going to take the over of UCLA.
You like the over of UCLA? Okay.
At the number you said?
The number I said was 6.5. 7-5 season for UCLA.
7-5 UCLA, much like Summerall at Texas. Big believer in Chesney at UCLA. I think that Duke can coach.
Yes, yes, yes.
I am going to take the over of Oregon.
You think 11-1 this year?
11-1. I'm going to take the under of Indiana. I think 10-2.
Ooh.
Oh.
Fall back to graces. Huh?
Oh, God. They lost.
Welcome back to reality, Indiana.
I will take the over of Ohio State. At 9.5.
If you love their chances to beat Texas or like their chances, I mean, that's the same thing with, as I said, with Texas in the last second. If they win that game, the over's a lock.
Well, I just think they can lose to Texas Oregon, and you still hit.
Absolutely.
Be 10-2. So.
But if you win that game, you are guaranteed to hit your over because they ain't losing three Big Ten games.
What's Michigan's?
Michigan is 8.5.
I'm going to take the under and say they go 8-4.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be a combination of multiple quarterbacks.
That's all you need. That's good.
Well, I'll be very – no, I'm just kind of curious about Underwood.
Yeah?
I think he's a fascinating player. You mentioned Vanderbilt, and not that we need to dive into the depth charts of these teams.
Who's going
to
play, young guys playing.
It's a real thing to me, man. What is the real strong evidence? How much evidence do we have of the five-star number one quarterback getting the start day one at college and it going swimmingly? Largely feels like it goes the other way, right? The vast majority of the time?
Yeah, you got Trevor Lawrence out there was one. I think he redshirted
I don't think he started day one, though.
No, but in terms of a guy who came in, it was like dynamite from the get-go.
Yeah, I'm like the five-star...
Day one, starter.
Day one, how that goes. So
I'm sure there's one that a listener will throw at us, but as I'm trying to scroll through the top of my head, there's not a lot of names out there that are hitting in my mind.
Not the biggest believer in it, and the reports out of the spring game is that Underwood did not look very good.
Yeah.
They like that other kid. I think it's – is it I forget. Is it Lloyd?
I think it's Lloyd. I think it's the – yes.
It's Lloyd Carr's
It's the
grandson,
other car.
Right? It's the other car.
Yes.
They really like him, so I think they're going to play a little bit of a – quarterback back and forth. What's UW's?
UW is 7.5. USC is 8.5.
I'm hammering UW over.
Over UW.
Yeah, I'll hammer that. I think they're minimum 8-4 this year.
Not worried about their hostage quarterback?
He blinked twice. He's back.
Will we get a negotiator halfway through the season to get him free from his hostage situation?
Was he momentarily in the portal matrix? Absolutely he was. I think he's back, and I think overall they can navigate to an 8-4.
7-5 for UW is confusing. Like they have
That'd be a massively disappointing season.
It would be a hugely disappointing season. I understand that there's a lot to replace on the offensive side of the ball. I know their corners are gone. Like there's key pieces there, but when I look at Washington's schedule, I mean, you got to go to Oregon, obviously, at the end of the year. I don't see them losing a game in non-conference. Like, you can't lose to the Cougs, Utah State, or Eastern Washington. So there's three wins. And there's a at USC, there's a, you know, Penn State, maybe they're good. It's at Nebraska. Like, if you lose more than four games with the schedule you have, considering you got three easily winnable games in non-conference, that's an absolute disaster for you. So I would also take the over there. USC is more interesting to me because of how difficult their schedule is.
Yep.
And then being at 8.5, like they have a more challenging pathway through the Big Ten this year. I'll get non-Booger Brandon's thoughts here in a moment. I will reiterate, though, what you said. The first one that jumped out to me from an under was Michigan. Just right out of the gate. I think they're going to lose to Oklahoma in non-conference. And then you basically got to only lose three conference games the rest of the way. I don't see that happening with their quarterback play this year.
Are we underselling Whittingham a little bit?
I mean, I don't mean to because I certainly think he's a good coach. But what did Utah do when their quarterbacks were bad in the last handful of seasons, right? When their starter would go down, they were horrendous. And so I don't think they have a good quarterback play. Maybe Carr ends up proving a lot of people wrong. I'm hammering the under of Michigan. Non-Booger Brandon, you got any like in there?
I'm kind of along the lines of you guys. Ohio State over, I like. Washington over, I like. Michigan under, that's just personal.
Yeah.
What was my other two unders?
Wait, why is that personal?
Because it's Whittingham and Utah, and I'm BYU Brandon, so no thank you.
Even at Michigan, he's gone?
He's a
BYU alum.
I know he is, but the red is still tainted on him for now.
He went
maybe
blue.
Maybe if he's bleeding in the blue just a little bit more, then maybe I'll come
his
around.
Post,
but at this point, no, sir.
His post-coaching career is going to be interesting because that's like sometimes you go back to the place you're a player, and there's a lot of former Oregon players who stick around the program, but he coached at the biggest rival forever, and he's more known as the coach of Utah than he is at BYU. Exactly.
But it's a Jonathan Smith thing. He had an opportunity. I was talking about this with Mike Haas at the golf tournament of like the Jonathan Smith narratives with Oregon State fans. And it's not going to make sense to people who just bleed the fandom. These are two different worlds. There is the experience that they had as a student athlete.
Yes.
Always going to love their time there and what it meant. They're in a business now. It may not make sense to everybody because you get people who want to go to the alma mater, want to stay at the alma mater, all of that. A lot of other guys don't have that luxury. So you can hate it and never change your mind about it. The reality is a lot of coaches live in two different worlds. There is, I love my alma mater, but also I'm trying to be a great head coach.
Yeah.
So BYU Brandon hates Kyle Whittingham. I get it. The Holy War is an underrated rivalry in football. But also, he had an awesome opportunity to stay in Utah, the state he loves.
Yes.
And coach a really good program.
How dare you approach this rationally? How dare you?
That was nice.
How dare
Still
you?
Not going to buy it. My Fair. Other two unders, USC under. You,
bro, I really don't care.
He gave you one of these. USC under for BYU,
USC
Brandon.
Under. The time is not okay. now, Lincoln. Get over
oh,
it.
Oh, what is their over under?
They are 8.5. It's a fascinating
Boy,
number.
Boy, you go 8-4.
If you go 8-4 in year 5, 40. You know who you
I'm taking the over.
Never hear the end of it from. This guy.
And I'm taking the over.
My last you under like would over? Be Minnesota under.
Oh, that's a random one to throw out.
You
okay.
Bet against rowing the boat. What six and a half. The boat?
Boat's got a crack in it.
So. You're stupid, A.
Yeah. The over-under, I'm going to give you the under I like the most is Michigan. That was the first one that stood out to me when I saw it. I'm just like, I don't see it with your quarterback play. I like the under there. The over I will go with.
I like Ohio State over probably the most.
Ohio State over is definitely a good
10-2?
One. Yeah, I mean, if I were betting, if you asked me to bet it, I would bet the Ohio State over. I certainly don't see them going 9-3 this year. I would be pretty surprised. But when was the last time Ohio State had a 9-3 season?
Ooh, was it the 6-6 Fickle season?
The point being, it's been a minute for them, right?
Pickle like, Fickle? Let's look that up.
Even a couple of years ago when they lost to Michigan in the regular season in Oregon, they were 10-2, and then they went on to win the national championship. Like 9-3s don't. They might get to a third loss by the time you get to a Big Ten championship game,
oh,
or you get to a
well,
bowl game.
Oh, never mind. Sorry, that yeah. was.
You got to look at regular season.
It was Fickle.
The year they were 6-6.
Because outside of the COVID year, which is the one that jumped out, because I'm like, wait, right. No, that's COVID. Yeah, every other year it's 10 or better.
10 or better. 10-2 or 11-1 or 12-0.
Yeah, they haven't
every
been
single year.
Sub 10 wins since 2011.
Doesn't happen very often. So Lord. I would be shocked. The other over I'm going to take is just like who's Mr. Reliable in the Big Ten. You know what they're going to look like.
Dan Lanning.
You know how well that is true. Thank you. I opened you up for that and you slam dunked it. But that's not the answer I'm looking for.
But it's true.
It is very true. He's been very good. It's Iowa. Every year.
What's
every
the
year.
7.5.
Iowa over under is 7.5. I'm hammering it. They're going to go 8-4.
Punts.
You know that they will. Punts. They're going to play defense. Punts. They won't throw the football. Yeah. They're going to win gritty cold weather games.
Hot them up, Sikorsky.
Yes, yep. It's Iowa. They also, Iowa State is their big non-conference game. Who's going to suck this year because they lost everybody? Iowa State. That was at least a competitive matchup the last handful of years, and maybe it gets back to being that.
Yeah.
Iowa State's replacing their entire roster this season, so.
That's good shit.
Thank
right
you.
There.
I will take Iowa over of 7.5. That's my favorite over in the Big Ten. Any other college football takes we got to get to?
Just a rare, great weekend for both local fan bases. Oregon State is, I don't know if crushing it's the right term because
for
some of the star
level.
Ranking stuff, but
yes.
Yeah, for a new coaching staff to come in here.
Yes.
To build buzz, to be coaching or recruiting out of state. They were the running for a quarterback. Say what you want about the star ranking. Michigan wanted this kid.
Yep.
And Oregon State landed him. So the recruiting down in Corvallis seems to be off to such a much better start than the last regime. And Oregon continues to just dominate recruiting. They got the 4-star tight end, Cartwright. Lanning posted a video how stoked he was about getting the kid. A nice little weekend for both fan bases to be super happy and excited with only 9 more Saturdays left.
Yeah, for the Oregon side, it was great to see him go back, and they already signed the number one player out of Michigan. Not signed, but verbal commitment from the number one player in Michigan. So to go back into Big Ten territory and do it again, like that's, I'm sure, not great news for Michigan State or Michigan fans.
You got to change the term as much as it's funny to say, like, they are Big Ten territory now.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
It's
like,
all Big Ten
to
territory.
To go into another, yeah, to steal those kids out of the state of Michigan. Yeah. It's just always nice to see. And then for Oregon State, one, I thought it was great. Like, Nimmick had a good write-up on it in terms of the kid, why he committed, mm-hmm. and it being mainly about the coaching staff and the culture that they're building that he's just kind of falling in love with.
Yep.
That's music to the ears of Oregon State fans. Also, his name is Thaddeus Thatcher.
I know.
Thaddeus Thatcher.
Debatably is, not a better, it's the best name, dude, they've recruited since Storm Woods.
That is such a good name.
It's a great name.
Thaddeus Thatcher?
Is Thaddeus Thatcher the name of a great starting quarterback?
Does he go by
college?
Thad Thatcher? Does he go by full Thaddeus?
Would you go by Thad? I'd go by Thaddeus.
You would want it the full Thaddeus?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
You always want to go full Thaddeus.
Look, I'm not going to lie. We're still debating kid number two names. We have not settled
Thaddeus
yet.
Thaddeus is a good one.
I saw that recruiting news over the weekend, and I thought to myself, dude, Theodore and Thaddeus?
What about Atticus?
I can't go Atticus.
He won you a game in Iowa.
I'm not rich enough.
Oh, okay.
I think there's a certain tax bracket you have to be in.
I think a Thaddeus and a Wyatt are also very rich sounding.
You think Thaddeus is rich sounding, huh?
Yeah, dude.
Really?
What is he, Thaddeus Thatcher the second?
Is he the second?
I don't know. There's got to be some numerals after that Thatcher.
Could be a couple of numerals in there.
Well, that Thaddeus Thatcher's not a name I think you just come up with. That has to be a family name, does it not?
Thaddeus Thatcher is a hell of a name, man.
Well, the funny thing is about Oregon State, I'll say quickly.
Yeah.
A couple weeks ago, we heard that at a local camp, Shepherd was running drills because it was a Northwest showcase type deal.
Yeah.
And there's players who are going to get recruited, and there's players that will never play at that level of college football. And Shepherd was heard audibly dropping MFers in front of parents. And we were told the parents were just aghast.
They're a little taken aback. What?
And my thinking is like, I don't care. I actually love to hear that. You know how many showcases I heard the last coach didn't even talk?
Yeah, I just stood in the corner.
And this dude's running drills. He's doing Oklahoma drills. He's dropping MF-er. Like, he's establishing such a louder, different presence. It's not going to be for everybody. It's going to turn some parents off. That's fine. He's building something. Look at the recruiting results so far. They speak for themselves. So yep. I just think it's nice to see some refreshed, good new energy down in Corvallis.
Yeah. I'm going to put my NFL stuff to the final hour. Interesting news for two different reasons around one team. We can kick that to the final hour. A bit of a tandem of local news over the weekend. RIP to this institution. I will remember you.
Oh, man. It's felt dead, too. I drive by it every day.
Has not felt alive for a while.
I'd like to say that about the city this weekend, by the way. I was downtown.
Not a lot going on?
Woof.
Weather didn't help, for sure.
No, it... Lease.
A lot of building
closed,
openings.
Closed.
Maybe this
closed.
Company can move into one of those places if they're looking for a new location.
It's a little depressing.
I got some ideas for them. Also, what do you do if this happens to you? That's next.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time, they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm a fan. All right, fun to yell about college football for a moment. God, I miss you. Please, come back to me.
Were we yelling about college football?
No, I just like saying that.
Shout out to Hoggies.
We love you, Hoggies. We'll see you soon. 9 more Saturdays until the sport kicks off. We will keep our eye on the trade market in the NBA. We'll dive back into the NBA, including one move and what does it mean for an organization and who they're trying to go after. We had assistant coaches hired in Portland. All of that is to come. At the top of the hour, but a bit of local news to discuss and digest over the weekend here for us locally. Now, this is always, I think this was Saturday, was it Saturday?
Saturday.
Yeah, this happened Saturday.
The golf club one?
So I actually got invited to go play golf on Saturday, and I'm looking at the weather, and I'm like, nah, man, I'm good. It's that time of year, like, I'm willing to play in the rain in, like, late March, early April, because you got the itch and you're ready to get out there.
I have no interest in the rain, man.
This time of year, I'm out, dude. It's going to be nice next weekend. I'll get around it around the 4th of July. Like, I'm not in any sense of urgency. So I turned the round down. And then I see the news that over the weekend on Saturday at Oregon Golf Club, there was a golfer who was struck by lightning while playing a round of golf. This made kind of local and regional news. He was out by himself on the course, outside of his golf cart.
Crazy.
The storm quickly rolls in.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, I guess an hour later, there was a funnel cloud near Malala. I did not see that over the weekend.
Oh, it got pretty wicked on Saturday, dude. The house I was at was shaking with the thunder.
That's wild. A funnel cloud would make me pee in my pants. So would a strike of lightning that close, let alone hitting somebody. He was struck by the lightning. He eventually regained consciousness, and then he called for help. The odds of making a hole-in-one on a golf course are about 1 in 12,500. The odds of being struck by lightning is less than 1 in a million. So,
well, what's it in Oregon?
Even more so than
The odds have to be increased because we don't get that much lightning.
If you're living in the plains of Nebraska or Missouri, you're going to have a higher chance of having some funnel clouds and some thunderstorms. Ooh. But if you're living in Portland, Oregon, it doesn't happen.
Man.
Dude, shout out to this guy for, one, being alive. That's pretty badass. And also now being able to tell.
Is.
Like, shout out for living, dude. That's kick-ass. To imagine walking around telling people you survived a lightning strike.
Well, the thing about, like, being hit, knocked out, then just waking up.
And where did it hit him?
I don't know.
Does it impact the survival rate? Like, I'm assuming if it hits you on the top of the head, you're probably not making it.
Didn't the joke in Twister is you're supposed to, like, bend over and put your butt in the air? It's the safest Orpheus for the lightning to strike. Am I wrong on that? Did you not watch Twister? Am I the only one who watched Twister here?
I don't remember
don't
that
they joke about that when they're eating the steak and eggs?
I don't know.
Supposed to bend over and grab your butt?
What?
Put your butt in the air?
I'm a closet Artist Gilmore fan.
Okay, all right. Well, I guess I'm wrong.
Bend over and spread them out?
I heard that's the safest Orpheus, but maybe this guy's proven wrong. It's more safe in the Titleist hat.
Next time I'm in on golf course and it's lightning on me, I'm going to do that. I'm going to pull my pants down and get down on all fours.
So this is a pretty famous club he's golfing at, right?
Oregon Golf Club. We played there many a times.
My wife did ask the question, are they legally, like, do you sign away a right of you get struck by a light? That's not the golf club's fault.
That's a good question. No, I don't think it's the golf club's fault. They try and do the best that they can, I think, everywhere you play of, like, if there's inclement weather, they will, like, nobody's going out, or there's thunderstorms in the area, we're shutting it down.
I don't want to name the course because I'm not trying to get anybody. My wife just asked me, so I was like, well, I've never thought about that.
Yeah. Who's liable for this?
I had two buddies playing a birthday round at another course not far from where we're at right now, and they shot me video. It dumped. About the time this guy probably got struck.
Right.
It was dumping.
Rain?
And, like, you could hear the thunder. There wasn't anybody on that course telling him to stop.
Nobody.
You got to make your own choices out there, but.
Yeah, you're kind of out on your own at that point.
I think it's the PGA Tour. There's a big horn going off.
If I chose to play golf knowing that weather was going to be dangerous in the area and I got struck, like, I'm not suing you. That was my decision.
Well, I hope he doesn't.
Right. I would, too. And I would hope the family wouldn't if something would have happened to him. A lot of follow-up questions here. Like, did it zap him in the foot? Did it hit him in the knee? Can it hit you in one spot?
I want to know who this guy is. I kind of want to talk to him.
Does it land? Does it hit him?
Can we get this person on the station?
When you say struck by lightning, do you mean it, like, literally struck your body? Or was there, like,
body or the golf club?
A golf club?
Or the golf cart?
Was it 5 feet away from you and you, like, felt the current through the ground?
Maybe it hit the tree, so you're by the tree because you can't hit a straight shot to save your life?
I got a lot of follow-ups here.
I do, too.
I want this guy to do an interview. I need it.
Was it the great outdoors? Literally struck him in the head all the way down. Now he's got a white streak in his hair. Like,
right.
I have a lot of questions here.
Also, follow up. If you were to get struck by lightning,
would
you get a lightning bolt tattooed on your body?
And I survived?
And you survived. Because I think I would.
I'd also tell people I'm the Flash.
Where'd I go?
No, you're not. What do you mean? I just went to the bathroom.
Yeah, you didn't even notice, did you?
So I do that all the time.
That happened over the weekend. Shout out to that guy for living. That's a pretty badass story.
What was his score, too? What if he was on track for, like, an all-time low score?
Yes, it's the Caddyshack moment.
And the golf gods said
the Lord would never strike me down in the middle of my best round. And then you're gone.
If you come back with the ability to call the club, are you not going,
let's ask this,
I'm two holes away from the club, I'm going to finish out,
let me ask you
then
this,
get checked out medically?
You both are golfers, you both got the itch, you both love playing golf.
Yes.
What's the best score you've ever had in your life through, like, 12 holes?
Plus two.
Plus two?
And I don't want to tell you what I finished with, but plus two.
You can leave it there, plus two. BYU, Brandon?
I believe I was one under.
One under through 12.
Mm-hmm.
That is the round of golf you're experiencing.
Oh.
You get struck by lightning on the 13th tee box. You're one under. You're two over. Do you then think to yourself, because you're not going to do it in the moment. The guy had to go to the hospital. He was unconscious. Like, we're going to joke about that. Not going to happen.
Right.
Would you try and say, can I finish my round at a later date?
No. Ooh. No. There's no carryover.
No carryover. The round's over at that point?
Okay, so I use the Grint.
Yeah.
What am I doing on the Grint?
Save for later.
There's not a save for later button.
Go back and remember your scores and re-enter them the next time you play, but start on the 13th hole. Would that be a legitimate round? It's not like you walked off the
course
on your own volition.
If I told you I did that, what would you say?
I would allow it. I don't care that much about your handicap. You had a chance for a PR and you got struck by lightning. By all means, roll the dice, dude.
But what if I didn't record it because my score went to crap? I lost that ability.
If you're only two over and then you go to crap, you're still probably shooting somewhat decent in terms of your overall scores, right? Like, you know, you could end up with an 85. That's still not a bad score for you.
I have so many questions of this guy. Maybe he's a stick. Maybe he's like a two handicap.
Yeah, he's three under through nine. Like, I'm not turning around now. Are you kidding me?
Well, I say this as somebody never been struck by lightning, thank God. Mm. Like, I just think if you have an ability to call and just drive back nonchalant to the club. Like,
did he drive himself back? I didn't see the report. Or did somebody come scoop him up off the ground?
I thought I read that he drove back, but maybe somebody came out to get
him. He had to alert them because he was playing. That's terrifying, too. Like, you're by yourself. There's no. It's one thing if somebody's around you and you get struck by lightning.
Have you even been electrocuted in any way? Like that little zzz?
I've had a little shock every once in a while.
It's awful.
Yeah, it's not a good feeling.
Yeah.
Not a good feeling.
So I can't imagine you wake up after having lightning hit you.
Right.
In your head or your butt, and you're just like wanting to continue to play golf.
I'd take one there. And then last but not least in local news, RIP to our longtime friend, a companion we've known for years.
Mm.
According to the Oregonian, it appears. Drip, drip, drip. That the Acropolis is going to be closing sooner rather than later.
Yeah. Well, it's looked closed.
I mean,
there's
not a lot going on there. It's been on the brink of selling and closing for quite some time, and they wrote this weekend, after 50 years in Portland, family-owned Acropolis and their steakhouse. God, those steak bites and garlic bread hit every time.
God bless the beaver.
It's
R.I.P. R.I.P. to a Portland institution.
Gunned down in its prime.
Couldn't get Giannis in the market.
No.
Acropolis, boycott. We're done.
Well, I had heard a report because they were trying to sell. They were back on the property taxes. They weren't making it up, but they told employees they weren't going to close until they had a buyer. They haven't had a buyer. They're selling it for like $2 million.
That's all it's taken.
And then someone's like, yeah, I don't think this is going to be open by Monday.
I don't think this is done. It's just not happening.
Who knew that the last time I was at the A-Crop was going to be the last time I would ever have the steak bites, garlic bread, and show?
They should open for one more time. Like, they tore down my high school a couple weeks ago, or at least started to. They did like a one more night to come walk through the hallways. Can we get that at the A-Crop for all the old ones who don't get to go very often and remember our days at the A-Crop fondly from, you know, a long, long time ago? One more night. One more last hurrah. That's what I asked for, Acropolis.
I mean, if you did do one more night and you announced it and everybody knew about it in our area.
One final goodbye.
Boy, those dancers are making a ton of money that night.
How many steak bites? Am I eating? A lot of steak bites is the answer.
Yeah.
They're good.
How many little cat fights you got about who's getting what stage time, too?
Main stage.
Yeah.
Come on down to the main stage. R.I.P. to the Acropolis, an institution for 50 years.
I haven't been there in years.
It's been, years.
I think
We got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show.
You go in there randomly on a Thursday.
We'll get back into the afternoon crowds pretty solid. We'll get back into the NBA. One player making a decision. What does it mean for their team? The latest on the Blazers and their hiring of a couple of assistant coaches. Loaded final hour to Quinny Ward, Dirt and Sprague, 105.1 FM, The Fam.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and they're imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego bricks.
Are you looking for a pro football podcast that doesn't put you to sleep with spreadsheets or insult you with mindless hot takes? Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hanzus and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.